Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Happy NFL trade deadline day, Patriots fans. And let's just hope we have something to celebrate, because so far, we've been watching the parade go by. Lots of trades, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, including one I don't often get stunned. The Indianapolis Colts stunned me today, trading two first-round picks and Adonai Mitchell to the Jets for Sauce Gardner.
It's called going for it, Andy.
And, they went for it more than I would have gone for it, no doubt. I want the Patriots to go for it more than they're doing right now, but I would not have given around two first-round picks for Sauce Gardner, who is among the best corners in football. I believe that. I think he's probably a top five corner. But, I mean, you essentially just signed a franchise player. You're going to pay him a boatload of money, and you had to give up two first-round picks to get him, and a player, actually. This is a stunning move. But, yes, for people that say strike while the iron is hot, if you're in a position you didn't expect to be but you have a chance to win, you go for it. Example A is the Indianapolis Colts and that deal they made today. Other receivers have been shipped. Jacoby Myers is going from Vegas to Jacksonville. That's an interesting downgrade in terms of the nightlife and everything going on. But, hey, the Jaguars got a good receiver. You didn't get that. I will say, Fitzy, does the trade of Sauce Gardner make you maybe a little more hopeful that if they traded a corner who was under contract long term, maybe they'll trade a running back who's not under contract at all, Breece Hall? I know that was a Ted Johnson favorite target at the trade deadline. Anyway, it is trade deadline day. We are about an hour and 55 minutes from the conclusion. 4 o'clock is the deadline. We have Dan Ball at the trade desk, and therefore he's monitoring the socials. He's ready. If a trade breaks, whether it's the Patriots or not, this is what you'll hear.
We have breaking news right now.
We have a trade to announce.
Are you serious right now?
So if that happens, we might be able to get excited. Or it could just be the Chiefs or the Colts or some other team in the AFC that's competing with you, adding somebody. So, Fitzy, how are we feeling? How are we feeling on trade deadline day?
I am excited as a football fan because I love the trades. I love the fact that this is the zestiest, perhaps most dynamic trade deadline in the NFL that I can remember in these long-living football-loving years. That said, pretty underwhelmed from a Patriots perspective, because what they've done, you see, is they've sent people out of town, and we've heard about other people that they want to ship out of town. I haven't
seen
a lot of people
come back in. Sorry to interrupt, but we got to go to the sounder.
We have breaking news right now.
We have a trade to announce.
Are you serious right now?
The teardown boys of the New York Jets continues.
Breece Hall.
It is not Breece Hall, nor is it the New England Patriots. From Ian Rappaport, your boy at Rap Sheet, Andy, the Dallas Cowboys are trading for Jets Pro Bowl defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, sending a first-round pick and more to the Jets, per the insiders.
Wow. Quinnen Williams, are you blanking me? They just traded their best player, period.
Wow. Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson now fortifying the middle of that Cowboys defense. Jerry Jones likes to splash, and they were splashing in the wrong direction. They were a stone sinking in the NFC East, losing to the Cardinals last night. But that is a massive trade. So we've now had
There's nobody left.
We've now had Breece Hall still left. There's still a Breece Hall that I can ask for if I'm the New England Patriots. This is fascinating from afar to watch the Jets under Aaron Glenn, who we thought was going to be fired, right? Might be a one and done coach. Is he now getting some sway in that organization? Is he tearing it down? Are they sticking with Aaron Glenn for the long haul and he has some say?
Is this Aaron Glenn who's making these decisions, or is this Woody Johnson? Is this Woody Johnson's kids who've decided to go against their Madden ratings aggregation?
Madden teardown, that's right.
It's a Madden teardown.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. In what world? Granted, the Jets defense has been, to put it my best James Spader, pure trash for the majority of this year, which is a surprise considering they have one of the five best defensive linemen and one of the five best cornerbacks. But to tear down by just literally getting rid of all your players, stockpiling first, and just saying it's a page one rewrite and a ground zero reboot, holy smokes, I was not prepared for this today.
We got a snarky response already from the 978. Patriots' list of moves at the trade deadline is shorter than Andy. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And
zing.
The Jets are dismantling. The Colts are building themselves up, and they're in position. The Cowboys aren't really in position. The Cowboys are in the middle of the pack, and I guess maybe they're looking at it now or never type of turnaround. Jerry's also probably Fitzy looking at
it. They're 3-4-1, Andy. They stink.
Egg on his face. Well, they don't stink. They can score points, and they can't stop anybody, and they just lost to Jacoby Brissett so badly.
middle of the pack. They were 3-point favorite at home last night, and they lost by 10 to Jacoby Brissett and a Cardinals team that had lost 5 straight. But otherwise, yeah, they're awesome.
Yes, dear ball.
Yeah, Fitzy asked me during one of the commercial breaks at the end of yesterday's show, well, I'm trying to think of a reason why this game isn't going to hit the over. The answer to your question, Nick, was the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott playing atrocious football in the first half.
Yep. Thank you very much, Dan.
Turnovers, and that's a weird world, that wow. Dallas world that you live in. I know he's compensated quite handsomely for it as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but Dak Prescott lives in a weird world of coaching over the years, of ownership over the years, of players leaving, and this is definitely Jerry saving face, right? Like, you trade one of the best defensive players in football, Micah Parsons, and you stink on defense, so you're like, oh, I better go get a really good defensive player, so I'll trade for him. Like, he's all over the map. The keys should be removed.
I want me some glory hole, but I got Quinnen Williams instead. He is such a weirdo. He is truly, truly such a strange, enigmatic human being. This is more Andy than bright, shiny object over here. Hey, look, folks, we made a trade, everyone. We got the headlines back. Look. Like, this is a massive franchise-altering move. You decide not to pay all that money to Micah Parsons, and instead, you know, depending on his health, you get somebody who could be just as impactful for, I guess, $15 million less a season. So it's a win-ish for the Jets. Two questions. One, did you possibly think Quinnen Williams would be available or on the market today? And two, are you prepared for the fact that the Indianapolis Colts, coming off their worst loss of the season, there's only been two, just decided to go so all in? They have the best cornerback duo in the AFC now. I think that's kind of inarguable. And they are kind of your clubhouse leaders.
Yeah, the Colts thing surprised me more than anything. Anytime a trade involves multiple first-round picks in the NFL is stunning to me, and that it's for a cornerback for the Colts. Like, there's just a weird dynamic there. And then the flip side of it, you look at the Jets, clearly they're bottoming out, but they're collecting first-round picks that maybe an eye on a quarterback, maybe whatever they're looking to do moving forward in terms of trades or utilizing that asset to rebuild. This is stunning, and this is the NFL. A lot of people talk about, oh, it's not the sexiest of trade deadline days like baseball or basketball, like some of those things, but hell, they are stepping up to the plate, and they're like, first-round picks, stars, all-pro caliber players are changing teams in the middle of the season, and this could directly affect the playoffs, whether you're
yes,
the Colts,
it definitely can.
The Cowboys. Like, it wouldn't stun me if you put Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson in the middle of that defense, and suddenly the defense is much better. And if you marry that up with an offense that basically can roll out of bed most nights and score 30-plus points, they all of a sudden could be one of those teams, like we talk about the Ravens, that could get hot late and be dangerous in January.
We were talking yesterday about the fact that the seventh slot in the NFC is totally up for grabs. You have three teams in the NFC West that won in. You have two now, which is crazy, considering the Panthers have a 5-4 record. You got four teams that are vying for possibly two spots in the NFC North. And I think the Cowboys legitimately think if they can go on a run, they could nip at the heels of, or maybe even surprise a few people with a semi-favorable schedule and grab that seventh spot. And when you look back to the AFC, it's, look, we have to talk Pats for a second here. It is going to be so frustrating if all these other teams make moves. And even though we've been told it's year one of a multi-year rebuild and we're trying to set up Drake and company for long-term success without mortgaging the future, we've said this a million times. It bears saying a million and one, million two, million three. You don't know when you're going to be this close or have this kind of opportunity. So you may have to borrow a little bit from the future to pay for the now. Because otherwise, like, the Pats will get left in the dust, and then we're going to feel like this was, what was the word we used earlier this week? Positively Breslovian.
Let's set the table here for the afternoon. We will talk to, even though it's trade deadline day, we still have our weekly chat with Mark Schlereth at 2:30. Interested to get his thoughts on Drake May, the sack total the last couple weeks, and his theory that sacks are a QB stat. So we'll ask him about that and obviously these massive moves at 2:30. At 4:30, we'll talk to Brian Hoyer, as we do each and every Tuesday. He's a big fan of Drake May. I wonder how he feels about this little dip of a game, the turnover that changed everything. We'll get his thoughts on that. And we'll get your reaction throughout to the trade deadline, 617-779-7937. How you feeling about the inactivity so far from the Patriots? How you feeling about watching other teams, including the Colts? I think that's the most interesting one. They loading up. They're trying to win now, coming off a loss. They are trying to secure their spot, maybe as the number one seed or as a legit Super Bowl contender. 617-779-7937. And from a Patriots perspective, I heard this rumbling out there, and I forgot which source had it. But oh, Tom Curran. I was listening to Tom Curran on Jones and Keith. He had heard that the prices are really high at the trade deadline, which...
Oh, you don't say.
You know who usually says the prices are high? The person who's not buying, right?
Yeah.
That's how I look at that. When your kids want something and they're like, hey, Dad, can I get that new baseball bat? And you're like... That's really expensive. How about we look a little lower on the rack for that bat? You know why? Because you're too cheap to buy it. So I don't want to hear from Tom Curran that the prices are too high. Because you know who's not saying the prices are too high? The sellers. It's the buyers. It's the Patriots. And that, to me, is a continued step towards, is this team going to do something, Fitzy? Is it going to do something by 4 o'clock? Let's get that prediction right out the gates. Will they make a move between now and 4 o'clock? A move of any kind?
No.
No. I think they do. I think they add a pass rusher that we're probably going to have to
look up the name of and Google the spelling.
Figure out how many games he's played, how many pressures he has, things of that nature. I don't think it'll be an obvious answer, but I am mildly confident that they will add a pass rusher. Seems like they've been sniffing quite a bit around that position.
Is this informed confidence?
Let's say loosely informed.
Oh.
Loosely informed. Very loose. Very, very, very loose. Like my clothes after Awaken 180, loosely informed.
But you're not just solely shooting from the hip on what you want.
No, I'm not just making it up.
Awesome.
Making it up would be Breece Hall and just putting the tying the pieces together. Oh, the Jets are selling everything. And I get it. You're in the division. It's the Jets. Maybe they're not going to do a deal with you because they don't want to see you get even higher up the standings than where they are. But I can dream a little bit. I know Kenneth Walker is also a guy that people have been throwing out there as a would-be trade target. And I don't know why, but his name has seemingly popped up late. And this is speculation. And this is not sourced in any way. This is like reading the internet, and people keep throwing Kenneth Walker's name out there. We also had
Seattle did go for a wide receiver, Andy. They did trade a boatload of mid to lower round picks for Rashid Shaheed. And this is a team that just put up a 38 spot on the road against the Commanders. So there's another team that is realizing, hey, you know what? We're actually in position to compete. This is so wide open this year. Why not us? Why not now? Let's spend some money.
Sort of like the Jags. Both of those teams added second-tier wide receivers for a fourth and a sixth, basically. So that's the cost of doing business for a non-star receiver who could probably help you with Kayshon Booty being banged up and no focus or faith in Kyle Williams. But I do think the Patriots will make a move. I just don't think it's the move that we're all lusting after, and maybe even more so now that we're seeing big names get traded. I don't know that we expected Sauce. Did you see any rumblings that Sauce Gardner was going to be traded?
Zero. I saw no rumblings that it was no Garrett Wilson, no Sauce Gardner, no Quinn Williams, nothing. I mean, it makes sense to try to vulture from the deceased and the eliminated by the side of the playoff postseason road, but like, no, there was nothing on any of those.
And to the 401, and if you want to chime in on the text line, same as the call line, 617-779-7937. Hart, you sound surprised that the Patriots aren't buying. I am. All they've done is remove talent from a team that right now has a shot to have the bye in the AFC. And that makes no sense to me. Like, I get not mortgaging the future. I'm not asking you to mortgage the future, but add some depth. You can't give away one of your warm bodies at edge, give away one of your warm bodies at safety, and then just be like, oh, we're fine. We'll be okay. What if Woodson gets hurt? Who's playing that? Like, we're just going to count on Del Pettis to be the safety? What if Harold Landry gets hurt? Who are we counting on? Swinson? Like, I don't even know. Like,
He's on the practice
squad. Yeah, lack of depth on this team, and they removed from the depth at positions that we wanted them to actually add to. So, yes, I will be surprised, Texter, if they do not make a move to at least add depth. Yes, Dan Ball.
This is a question for you both. I was thinking about this over the weekend. Has the commitment to cleaning out the cupboard of the pieces that don't fit the culture for the Patriots, has it gone too far at any point? I mean, I feel like you've really taken away from your depth for the sake of culture, but I guess you're 7-2, so you could say it's working so far.
It is definitely working so far, but I would also argue we're at the halfway point.
It's a dangerous game, isn't it?
And it's a long NFL season. Is. And guess what? Teams generally don't get healthier. So when you're healthy through the first half of the year, which they primarily have been, you know, you dealt with Gonzo, you're now dealing with Booty, you've had a couple injuries, but they've been extremely healthy. Well, sometimes that averages out. Not too many teams make it through a full season healthy wire to wire. So you may start to deal with injuries, and I know Ramondre Stevenson is one of those, so maybe these are signs that you're already starting to deal with some injuries, but that's also why I include running back in a potential need for upgrade. Yes, Dan Ball.
A follow-up to the Quinnen Williams deal. So it's a second-rounder in 2026, a first-rounder in 2027. The Jets are also acquiring defensive tackle Mozzie Smith, who I believe was a healthy scratch in last night's game.
So it's a one and a two. It's not just a one.
It's a one and a two and a player who I think was a one, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Yeah. That's,
so we've had two trades. Huge. That have included either two first-round picks or a first and a second-round pick.
Right. The Jets have acquired so far in those two deals three firsts, a second, A.D. Mitchell, and Mozzie Smith.
What was the total compensation Jacksonville gave up for Jakobi Meyers?
It was a fourth and a sixth, I believe. It was two picks. Same for Shaheed.
We couldn't afford that?
Yeah. You obviously could afford that. You clearly didn't want to do it, didn't want to invest that much, didn't want to. Now, I don't think this is true. I have said I wasn't sure I wanted to upset the apple cart at wide receiver. I find it hard to believe that Jakobi Meyers would have upset the apple cart
at
wide receiver.
He makes the apple. He brings a different kind of apple in and is happy to work with whoever wants what other kinds of apples there are there, because he'd go from the poorhouse to the penthouse, for God's sakes. And it was a penthouse that was hardly a penthouse. It used to be a poorhouse, and the damn guy deserves to experience a little bit of that. He's going to fit in great. Jacksonville now officially factors into the, you know, if the Colts stumble, but they probably won't now that they've got such a dynamic secondary, Jacksonville is officially entering the wild card chat.
Yeah, they're in the mix, and they've decided that if we're going to be in the mix, let's try to really solidify our spot in the mix, right? Get in the old Parcells. Wow. You know, Ted will be here at 3 o'clock, and he loves when we cite Bill Parcells, doesn't love as much when we cite Bill Belichick, but Bill Parcells was all about getting into the tournament, right? You never know what can happen if you get into the playoff field. And I feel like the Jaguars, as opposed to the Colts that are near the top of it, I feel like the Jaguars are saying, yeah, we're close. We can get in. This AFC is not that good. Maybe the Chiefs aren't rounding into form. Who knows whether the Ravens even make it? The Steelers aren't that good. They probably look at the Patriots and say, hey, they're not all that good. And the Patriots, one of the best teams in the conference. We can beat them. Let's add to our roster. So, yeah, there's other teams that are being significantly more aggressive than I would say than the Patriots are. But little gullible Andy, Mike Vrabel, don't make me regret it. Little gullible Andy thinks you're going to add at least an edge depth piece before 4 o'clock. Dan Ball.
Jay Glazer also saying the New York Jets are not done. So for the time being, we can hang on to the Breece Hall or maybe even Garrett Wilson dream if you have that out there as well.
It's going to be one of their, you know, maybe Breece Hall. I can't imagine they trade Garrett Wilson, though I'm sure he's probably like, can I get out of here too if everyone else is getting tossed off the boat?
So that's back in play. That is back in play, Fitzy, because if he looks at they were kind of a trio, right? Those three guys. It was Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, and Sauce Gardner.
All the same draft class.
Yeah, we all thought that was like a foundation of, oh boy, the Jets are going to be really good, whatever. If he watches two of those guys go, I could see him saying, whoa, 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 I didn't sign up for a rebuild here, a tear down, a fixer upper, a flip this house kind of project.
He's also going to fetch a one because the dude's terrific.
Yes. Would you trade a one for him? He's a number one receiver.
Yes. Yes.
I think I would.
Hands down, wouldn't hesitate if I picked up the phone and said, Wilson for one. I would just press the button. Elliott now. Yes, please. Okay, thank you.
I would definitely trade a one for Garrett Wilson, and I'll add a layer to that. If I add Garrett Wilson now, I'm the 7-2 Patriots. I feel like that pick is not going to be a high first-round pick. I feel like that's going to be in the mid-20s, and I'll send that to the Jets. If I can get a number one wide receiver, first of all, for this team to get a number one wide receiver anyhow, anyway, would be remarkable. But if I can get a number one wide receiver for, say, the 25th pick in the draft or something like that, who's already under yes, please, sign me up.
And this is more Patriots-specific, but if you could trade something for a wide receiver and save them from having to try to draft a wide receiver again, then you're absolutely making that
and
deal.
And then Kyle Williams can develop or not develop in the background because you'll have Diggs and you'd have Garrett Wilson. Okay, so we're dreaming. We have a little over an hour and a half left to dream that the Patriots will be active, that they'll be very active, that they'll be aggressive like so many other teams will be. 617-779-7937. How you feeling about it? Because I know the text line is lighting up and it's not very optimistic. They're cranky. They don't think Kraft and Vrabel and company are going to do anything. In fact, one said, "Welcome to mediocre Massachusetts. That's the story of our four Boston sports teams. Pure mediocrity, and they're okay with it." Dan Ball, I think the Bruins, mediocrity, or you thought they were below mediocrity?
I mean, record-wise, they are the definition of mediocre. Roster-wise, I'll reserve my judgment.
Better than anticipated, though. Yes, mediocre in terms of a 500 record. Better than we anticipated they would be. Your Boston Celtics, a bit more disappointing. And the Patriots, well, they can choose chaos or they can choose ambivalence.
So Chamber of Commerce, jump on that. Mediocre Massachusetts. Print the bumper stickers, get the posters, get the ads ready. As I said, we have about 90-plus minutes until the NFL trade deadline. The moves are coming fast and furious. We'll keep you updated. Up next, though, we're going to talk to our buddy Mark Schlereth from Fox Sports. He'll be next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Here on WEEI. Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll be speaking with Mark Schlereth momentarily. Dan Ball has a fan on the text line. The 401 says, Dan Ball needs his own show. Go, Dan Ball. Dan Ball actually has his own show sometimes on the weekends, so feel free to tune in. He'd actually love if you would text, interact, and or call if you had a chance and you enjoy what you're hearing. The 508 texter, Cincinnati, a Super Bowl contender with Chase and Higgins. I'm reading that with a sarcastic tone because I think it was sent with a sarcastic tone. No, but they were when the quarterback was healthy, when Joe Burrow was healthy. Yes, they were a Super Bowl contender. So I get your whole tone. Wide receivers don't make everything, but they certainly help at times. Although the next guy we talk to might not always agree with that. Let's go to Mark Schlereth on the guest line. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, the host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Mr. Schlereth, what are your immediate and instant thoughts about what seems like is going to be a crazy NFL trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, the Jets have already given all away their two best players, right? They're two superstars, and Quinnen Williams is gone now, and Sauce Gardner,
yep,
gone. So, yeah, I mean, it is always interesting this time of year to see, you know, trades and how they happen, and so it's always kind of fun to follow. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the business now, and with the salaries and the exorbitant salaries, sometimes if you're not very good, you know, you're just trying to dump salary for cost certainty, which is draft picks. But I grew up in a time and grew up in an organization under Joe Gibbs when I was with Washington that believed in, hey, we'll trade, we'll always trade, you know, for a known commodity. We'll trade unknown commodities for a known commodity. If I know a guy can play, he's already proven that he can play, I'd rather have that guy than a draft pick. And the first round is still, you know, a 50% bust ratio. So, get rid of him, sure, if you want to, but I'd rather have a guy I know can play.
Patriots are 7-2, winners of six in a row. arguably, inarguably almost at this point, now one of the best teams in football. If you were running that operation, do you think they have enough players, enough dudes in the building to get after it and make a Super Bowl run? Or do you think they're a player or two away and need to be active by 4 p.m.?
Listen, I don't – I always think that, you know, you got the 7-2 because you're pretty damn good, right? And there's always – like, you can always use another, like, pass rusher. You can always use – another player, but I think part of the issue that you always get into is you want the right player. You want the right type of guy. You want a guy that, you know, that adds and adheres to your culture, doesn't take away from it. And so I think there's always some risk reward involved in doing that. You know, and the other thing is, like, what do you have to give up to get a really good player? Like, what, at what point, and does that player that you try to get, does he have a contract that's suitable for you going forward? So I think there's a lot of things involved in doing that. I mean, for the Jets, it's just about salary dump at this point, right? So I get that. But I think you always have to be careful when you have a team that has a lot of great things going for it and is playing really well and, you know, has got tied with Indianapolis and Denver for the best records in the AFC. You know, I just think you've always got to be really careful about who you bring into your building.
Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Obviously, there you're sort of referencing culture and some of that. But I was also wondering what your perspective was on positions that are maybe plug and play, or positions where you'd be a little more hesitant and say, well, we're 9 weeks into the season. Is it going to take them a month to get up to speed? What are some of the spots that you think you can trade for and get instant return? And what are some of the others that you'd be a little more hesitant?
Yeah, well, I think that on the defense, if you line up and have a pass rusher, like, those guys are pretty much plug and play. Like, that works. Or if you have an elite level kind of shut down corner where you can say, hey, man, you're in lock in this particular coverage, you're just locking this guy up, and we're gonna kick the coverage to the opposite side of the field where we're gonna get double teams and all that kind of stuff. So those are kind of plug and play. Receiver can be to the extent where you say, hey man, you're involved in this three wide package, you're gonna be the X running the individual route. So a lot of times when you call an offense, you'll call, you know, an X, they call it an X individual. So you'll call that route. So you may say, hey, man, we're going to be in, you know, in trips right nasty, and we're going to run two jet Buffalo X comeback or X slant or X go or whatever. And so you get that front side. So, you know, your trips right or whatever it is, you get that front side combination called, and then the backside is just an X individual. So you can plug those guys in there. And, you know, there's a few nuanced things, but a slant is a slant, you know, a go is a go, a comeback's a comeback, all that kind of stuff you can put in and have that guy be pretty ready to roll in, you know, a couple days' time.
Regarding how the Patriots game went this past Sunday, Mark, obviously Pats looked like they were in position to run away with it, and then Drake makes a bad turnover at the end of the first half, puts the Falcons back into it, and in the end, you're a missed extra point from a kicker who was just kicked to the curb away from being a tie game and possibly losing that game. How do you handle it in the building the week after you won a game that, you know, should feel like a win but almost kind of felt like a loss?
Yeah, I think the thing about those, like, it's hard to win. It's hard to put a six-game win streak together. That is hard to do in the NFL. And so, you know, you always look at a win. You always got to be happy with the win. But sometimes those close wins, those, you know, things that almost get away from you. You mentioned, you know, the Drake May strip sack fumble that almost gets returned for a touchdown. You know, interception where he overthrows an in-breaker and gets picked off by Bates, the safety. Like, you look at some of those things and you're saying, hey guys, like, here are the things that if we play a good team is going to cost us a victory. And so sometimes that tape is the best tape to coach off of, because you didn't have the loss. It feels somewhat like a loss, but you still got the win. But guys are more receptive to being coached up than they are when you beat somebody by 35 points. So oftentimes I think those are some of the best teaching tool tapes that you can have.
Mark, I believe you're the one who has said to us that you believe that sacks are a quarterback statistic. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so building off of that, Drake May has been sacked 6 times in each of the last 2 games, 34 times on the season. What do you see there? What can he do to improve on that? What, you know, what's that working in concert with the line? What do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot. Not having looked at all of them, I'll give you, for instance, last week I did Jacksonville Raiders. And, you know, it's for Jacksonville, they gave up 7 sacks 2 weeks in a row. And so I'm looking at all the sacks given up. And if you go to the game before, they had given up 7 sacks in the game before last week when they played the Raiders. And I went through the tape with a fine-tooth comb, and I 5 of those sacks, 5 of the 7, I gave to the quarterback. This is a quarterback sack. This is a quarterback sack. And, you know, I actually asked Liam Cohen, and I go, is that fair? And he goes, absolutely, 100% fair. And so I think when you start to look at those things, a couple of things happen. Like when you watch Drake May play, and I've done several of the games, like there's a lot of front side of progression, one to do to buy myself some time and scramble. And so what would help him get off some of the sacks is 1 to 2 to check down, 1 to 2 to check down. And that's something I know that they're working on. Hey, listen, 1 to 2 to take off and scramble, he's made a lot of big plays. He made some big plays yesterday or Sunday doing that. So that's not altogether a bad thing. But if you can just get to your check down or to the third read in your progression a little bit more quickly, get through the first two, eliminate them, and get to the third read a little more quickly, that would take some pressure off an offensive line. So I think there's always those things that you look at and you say, hey, can we get improvement on those things? Yep. But at the same time, you don't want to take away that explosive playmaking ability that he's shown when he takes off and runs either. So it's a fine line. You're winning right now. Those are good things. Those are the good issues to have. Like, we can still get coached up on some of those things.
I'm not sure if you saw, you probably heard about it by now, but it's far from the biggest scandal in Patriots history, but there's been this whole rhubarb over the clapping possibly on a play to throw off Michael Penix's snap count on Sunday. Did you happen to see that? What'd you think about it? And did you ever have any accusations that people hurled at the Broncos or even the Redskins back in your day?
Oh yeah, I mean we all are doing what we can to grab an advantage, and so. And Vrabel's a really smart dude. Like, he's really smart. And then the Patriots did that back in my day, where they would stem late on a play and they'd have a word, you know, where all their offensive or defensive linemen would shift really quick and they'd have a word, you know, for a stem. And, you know, and you we used to complain about, hey, you're simulating the snap count, right? So that those are things that every team does that stuff. I don't get, you know, there's a Patriots are cheap or dirty. You know, the Broncos circumvented the salary cap when I was there. And, you know, because we deferred too much of the salary, you know, it's all semantics. And like all that stuff to me is garbage. Like, whatever. Like everybody points the finger at a team after they lose to them and say, well, these guys did that. Meanwhile, we're not telling you all the things that we did that weren't appropriate. And, man, I've been involved in a bunch of stuff that, you know, that you're trying to get an advantage. And, hey, every now and again you get caught trying to get an advantage. I don't hate anybody for it. Like, good for you guys if you can get away with it. If it works, that's gamesmanship. That doesn't bother me at all.
Yep.
Whatever.
Bobby the Brain Heenan used to say it in WWF, right? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying kind of mentality.
And, yeah.
I think there's a lot of coaches. Real quick before we let you go, the Chiefs and the Ravens are interesting teams right now still in the AFC. We saw Lamar get healthy. Do you think the Ravens make a run here? And what are your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs after they fall to the Bills? Are they still a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, I think that both. I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to go reel in the Steelers and win that division. I mean, Cincinnati stinks. The Cleveland Browns stink. The Steelers feel a little bit like paper tigers right now, leading that division to me. Baltimore Ravens get healthy. They get some of their defensive players back. Obviously, Lamar back. I think they've got a chance to reel everybody in and win that division. So I'm gonna stick with that. And the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah, they didn't play great against Buffalo. Buffalo seems to be able to beat them in the in the regular season, can't win in the playoffs. But yeah, I still think those two are still really good teams. I mean, if you look at right now, you look at the AFC, the three teams that lead it: Indianapolis 7-2, New England 7-2, and Denver 7-2. And I think if you polled anybody, they would all say, hey, those are really good teams. They're really good, but are they the best teams in the AFC? And I think most people would say, well, I'm not sure that I'm ready to give them the best team in the AFC moniker quite yet. So, I still think that the Chiefs and Baltimore are still very formidable in the AFC.
All right, Mark, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good, guys. Be well.
See you, Mark.
See you, Stink.
That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Up next, we'll continue to monitor the NFL trade deadline, but we also need to talk a little bit about the Boston Celtics real quick. Not a great game last night. My guy Jaylen Brown scored a lot of points, didn't hit a lot of threes, and had some bitching to do about the referees at the end of the game. We'll deal with that next here on W.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI afternoons. That's my guy, Jaylen Brown, leader of the 3-5 Boston Celtics after a 105-103 loss to the Jazz last night at the Garden with Drake May and Will Campbell sitting courtside. My guy, that's how I am. Loyalty, baby. 0-9 from three, you're still my guy. And you and Sam Hauser combined to go 1-17 from three for a Celtics team. Fitzy, that shot 21% from the three-point line, 51 three-pointers they shot, and they only hit a mere 11.
This one goes to 11. I mean, when you shoot 51 threes and you make 11, something's rotten. Like, something's way off. Are they can't be this bad a shooting team. You have to have one significant deficiency, and I think we all thought it was going to be size because they're getting out-rebounded each and every night, but they have to have a strength that they can meet that deficiency with, and it's supposed to be outside shooting and threes. How in the hell do you miss 43 pointers in a night? In a game, you lose by two on a last-second putback. There's a controversial call in the last minute. You make a single other of those threes, and you escape with a narrow win, and you live to learn from the tape as opposed to, I don't know, sending 18,000, including Drake May and Will Campbell, home sad.
So I'll tell you how you shoot that poorly. It's pretty simple, where you have a couple guys that should be better shooters that just have really bad nights, like Hauser and Brown, and then the guys that are supposed to have good nights to maybe pick up the slack just have average nights. Well, it's not like White or Pritchard could balance it out by having a hot night, and then you end up, I mean, for example, the Jazz shot 20 less threes and only hit two fewer. They went 9 of 31. You went 11 of 51.
It's still not great, but like, it makes the Celtics
yes.
seem...
eye-openingly bad.
Blindfolded.
And then you reference the bad call at the end. The first thing I thought of on that bad call was that NFL game a couple weeks ago, and I forget which primetime game it was when the running back was in pass protection, and he fell down in a similar way, and they called like a leg whip to wipe out like a 40-yard pass. I think it might have been Baker Mayfield. I think it might have been the Bucks game, but they wiped it out. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it happens in the NBA, and they're like, nope, no call, play on. In Jaylen Brown's reaction was so interesting at first. I was like, is this one of those AIs? Do I have to check this to make sure the swearing and the going after the officials? No, that was him saying, you guys are going to get me fined. Yes, Dan Ball?
I saw it live on the post-game show, Brad, yesterday. And there's something jarring about hearing an F-word on television when you're not expecting it. I don't quite know how to put it into words. But yeah, that word, I was kind of half paying attention and looked right up at the screen and went, did I just hear that right? Might have got himself fined in the process.
Especially on a network where you're like, they don't say the S word or the F word on the regular. Oh, they did.
Right. I'm not on HBO watching this. I'm on cable, not expecting an F word.
Did they give one of those when they go back to the desk? We'd like to apologize to our viewers.
Yeah, poor Kayla was saying that. The moment they cut away, we'd like to apologize.
Come on. Like, we all haven't heard worse.
We've heard worse, but you got to follow the rules and, you know, keep the bosses happy. So, Fitzy, so you lost to the Jazz, who are now 3-4. And you are 3-5. You aren't winning at home. You're not playing great basketball. There's a lot of areas of your game. We've bitched about three-point shooting. We've bitched about rebounding. We've bitched about, are you really changing your pace of play? We can talk about my guy. You know what I think a legitimate conversation that's going to be had? Are you now one of those teams that has a good enough number one who he'll get his points and you'll be in games, but not good enough to lead you to victory? Is Jaylen Brown that kind of a back end of the all NBA where you put up the numbers, but it doesn't actually lead to you carrying your team to victory? I think that's the conversation that's going to evolve in the coming weeks.
I have zero criticisms. I can't believe how few notes or qualms I have about the way Jaylen Brown has started the season. Your guy's doing a great job. He's leading by example, and he's been their best player by a wide margin to date. I hate to say it, but I think right now the fault in the Boston Celtics, aside from the offseason where you tore out so much of the guts, the height, and the talent of this team, the fault lies in the complementary cast. The complementary players, the supporting cast is not getting it done. Peyton Pritchard hasn't won you a game yet. Derek White hasn't won you a game yet. And he hasn't been able to do that thing that he did so well in seasons past, including last year's playoffs, which was, okay, what do we need from me tonight? Don't you guys worry. I got it covered. But it's really alarming at this point how I would say disparate the talent distribution and execution has been from this lineup.
And then you have Joe Mazzulla, who's still clearly trying to figure out what his lineups and his rotations are going to look like. He went, I didn't count them, but he went, I don't know, 11, 12 deep in the rotation again last night. A lot of bodies are on the floor, and he's still trying to figure out where these guys fit, especially the second and third tier type guys. It's a work in progress. I will say they're a little bit less. I've heard less of the, you know, we knew it was going to take a while. Give us time. They've kind of backed off that because I think they realized people were sick of hearing it. We know you need time. We're just going to watch, and we understand that it could take a while. But right now, Celtics are, they're not a great basketball team. They're a sub-500 basketball team. They're outside of the playoff picture. And yes, Dan Ball?
As we get to the witching hour of the trade deadline right now, guys, conflicting reports on Breece Hall with Diana Russini saying that the asking price for Breece is a third-round pick, but Tom Pelissero saying that the Jets are not currently expected to move him. So we know the price and just not their willingness to do it.
Okay. I think I would consider a third-round pick. Having seen what a third-round pick looks like, it's Kyle Williams. He's done nothing. If I can swap that for Breece Hall and add a playmaking nature to the backfield, I think I'd do it. Coming up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson will join the fun on NFL trade deadline day. A little bit more than an hour to go to the 4 p.m. deadline. Are the Patriots going to do something, or are we watching the parade go by with the Colts and the Jags and everyone else making moves? We'll talk about that, but up next is time for our three-point stances. And I'm going to tell you a revelation I had last night while watching Monday Night Football. It's positive. It's about the Patriots, their coach, their owner, and their quarterback. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.